Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I want to introduce you or invite you to our TIN this evening, which will be on internet privacy. Begins at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock p.m. So hopefully you'll stay connected and listen to the program. It does sound like it will be very interesting. And as I go into the mode of distance learning with my school children, it will be very interesting to listen to. So until the top of the hour, I'll be there in the background. Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 is Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC 97 and amateur practice. The server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net controls this evening are several, but I'm merely opening it up this evening. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of about 79 with a high of about 84. A very beautiful day. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday this week, last week, or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? No birthday stations either, and as I always say, that means we're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information for amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise everyone, this net is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've talked this evening, you will definitely be part of that recording. And by the way, our program tonight is entitled Internet Privacy, I believe. So with that, before my kitty cat jumps on my computer, I'm going to turn it over to KY6V so he can continue on. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. KY6V, it's all yours.
Okay, well, thank you, pretty lady. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for joining us here this evening. Tonight's program, as Kathy had mentioned, is going to be covering Internet privacy. And in continuation of our February program, which is on cybersecurity, tonight we're going to bring the focus to the home office and home computers. And in doing so, we'll be discussing firewalls, routers, Wi-Fi applications, along with software protection for malware, antivirus, email, DNS servers, browsers and third-party applications, and pop-up advertisements and tracking will be discussed also. So at this point, we're going to start the program off with a discussion starting with a main ingredient here, and it's called firewalls. That'll be introduced to you by Scott, W4 United Papa Charlie, UPC. He was instrumental in getting us interested in this program discussion this evening and did a lot of work on its preparation. So, Scott, if you are ready, fire when ready, Gridley, N4 UPC from KY6V. Now, that's not a good start, guys and gal. Looking on the marquee, it looks like he got kicked off. I don't see him. I'll give him just a second, and if not, I'll go ahead and open up his session for him. I don't see him back on screen yet, so he may be having more difficulties than just a dropped connection. N4 UPC, last call before we pick up the pieces, KY6V. Okay, well, I hope we can get things together here before we get too far into the program. Firewalls, guys and gals. A firewall is a system that provides network security by filtering incoming and outgoing network traffic based on a set of user-defined rules. In general, the purpose of a firewall is to reduce or eliminate the occurrence of unwanted network communication while allowing all legitimate communication to flow freely. I was looking at the marquee. I don't see Scott back yet. Said differently. In computing, a firewall serves a similar purpose. It acts as a barrier between a trusted system or network and outside connections such as the Internet. And for example, a basic firewall may allow traffic from all IP addresses except those flagged in a blacklist. So unfortunately, the Windows firewall is far from perfect and can sometimes cause more harm than good, especially if there's another firewall program installed. Don't disable the Windows firewall, as an example, unless you have a good reason. But if you have another security program performing the same function, then feel free to do so. Okay, I'm going to take a break at this point. Scott, I see that you are back. I'm down to the bottom of your first page of your presentation and about ready to get into the sentence starting with a firewall is a network, etc. You want to pick it up from here, or are you okay to do so? Over.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I am okay. Unfortunately, just as I was getting ready for your handoff, our power blinked. So I had to wait for everything to come back up. Hello, everybody. Scott Hughes here. November 4, Uniform Papa. I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where it's a lovely 69 degrees. Compared to the lower temperatures we've had recently, I'll take it. Continuing on with what Gordon was talking about a moment ago, a firewall is a network security device that monitors incoming and outgoing network traffic and then decides whether to allow it or to block it based on a predefined set of security rules. Firewalls have been the first line of defense in network security for more than 25 years. A firewall can be hardware, software, or both. Disabling a firewall permits all data packets to enter and exit the network unrestricted. If a software firewall is disabled, it's not just the associated computer that's in harm's way. For example, worms, that's a type of malware, can spread across your network connection, infecting other PCs and systems on the local area network. There are three basic types of firewalls that are used by companies to protect their data and devices to keep the destructive elements out of their networks: packet filters, stateful inspection, and proxy server firewalls. Let me give you a brief introduction to each of these. And while I do that, let me buy a nickel. All right, packet filters. A packet filter firewall controls the network access by analyzing the outgoing and incoming packets. It lets a packet pass or block its way by comparing it with the pre-established criteria like allowed IP addresses, a particular packet type, port number, etc. Packet filtering technique is suitable for small networks, but gets too complex when implemented on a larger network. It is to be noted that these types of firewalls cannot prevent all types of attacks. They can neither tackle the attacks that use application layers, vulnerabilities, nor can they fight against spoofing attacks. Let me grab a nickel, please. Okay, our second one is called stateful packet inspection, or SPI, which is also sometimes called dynamic packet filtering. It's a powerful firewall architecture that examines traffic streams from end to end. These smart and fast firewalls use an intelligent way to ward off the unauthorized traffic by analyzing the packet headers and inspecting the state of the packets along with providing proxy services. These firewalls work at the network layer in the OSI model and are more secured than the basic packet filtering firewalls. Thirdly, we have proxy server firewalls. These are also called the application layer gateways. Proxy server firewalls are the most secured type of firewalls, that effectively protect the network resources by filtering messages at the application layer. Proxy firewalls mask your IP address and limit traffic types. They provide a complete and protocol-aware security analysis for the protocols they support. Proxy servers offer the best internet experience and results in the network performance improvements. This is all about basic firewalls that are configured to protect a private network. No matter which firewall you choose, ensure a proper configuration as any loophole can cause more damage to you than having no firewall at all. Create a secure network and deploy a suitable firewall to limit the access to your computer and to your network. Let me try and explain what I just said and what you've just heard in somewhat different terms. If you would, picture in your mind a large hotel, and that large hotel has 65,535 rooms. Okay? Let me take a pause here real quick so I don't time out. Okay, so it's a really big hotel. Each room has a door to let you in and out, and on average, an average computer, rather, has 65,535 doors or ports that are, an average computer has 65,000, pardon me, each port has the ability to be locked, opened, or only opened under preset conditions. This allows you to decide who may come into your computer under certain configuration criteria and what they can or cannot do while they're inside the computer. All right, at this point, let's take a break. And for check-ins, anybody who wishes to check in at this time, please call N4UPC.
Kilo 2, Hotel Alpha.
WA3LXD.
All right, we'll stop it there. We'll go back up to the top for the great man himself, K2HA. How are you tonight, Dave? I'm sorry, Fred.
Scott, thanks for being one of the presenters. This is Fred, K2HA, cloistered here in Broomall, Pennsylvania, and listening to learn. So, interesting stuff about a packet firewall. Have to look at that. Okay, thank you all very much. Peace and blessings to everybody. The governor of Pennsylvania just said that all businesses except essential for life must close in the state by 8 o'clock tonight. This is Fred, K2HA.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming aboard, Mr. Fred. Here in Kentucky, our mayor hasn't gone quite that hard-nosed, I guess you would call it. It's more of a, he's trying to herd all the cats and get them to do what they're supposed to be doing, what they should do. So we're not up to your level just yet. I'll break with you, sir, and we'll move over to Dave, WA3LXD. Come aboard, sir.
Well, good evening, Scott. This is WA3LXD. Good evening to everyone else on the net. This is Dave. I'm located right now in Tallahassee, Florida. And again, thank you very much for presenting, and looking forward to the rest of the technical presentation. Excellent subject. Back to Net Control.
All righty. Thank you very much. Good to have you on board, both of you, and everyone else that's listening. I tell you what, at this point, let's turn it over, see if he's on yet. I'm not seeing him. Mr. Gordon, Captain, is W4RFJ the chief? Is he hiding, or am I missing?
Yeah, I'm here, Scott. I'm sorry. I was listening out on the porch. If Roger is having some problems, we can share his section between you and I, if you'd like, however you'd like to handle it. Over.
As always, what you want to do is fine. Do you want to kick this off, or do you want me to kick it off and give you time to get back inside? Over.
No, I'm inside, but go ahead. You get started and throw it at me when you're ready.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, this is November 4, Uniform Papa Charlie. We're going to move on to subject of routers and Wi-Fi. Give you a little background. A router is a networking device that forwards data packets between computer networks. Kind of like a traffic cop directs traffic, that's what a router does. It directs those little informational packets to where they need to go. Routers perform the traffic directing functions on the Internet. Data sent through the Internet, such as web page, email, all those are in the form of packets. To put it simply, a router connects devices within a network by forwarding data packets between them. This data can be sent between devices or from devices to the Internet. The router does this by assigning a local IP address to each of the devices on the network. Typically, the routers will save what's called a routing table that consists of your computer's MAC address, the IP address that was assigned to your computer, and the leaf time of your computer's IP address. A typical home has a range of internet-connected devices, personal computers, tablets, smartphones, printers, thermostats, smart TVs, and many more. With your router, these devices form a network. A router directs the incoming and outgoing internet traffic on that network in the fastest and most efficient way possible. The information traveling from your home network could be an email, a movie, or a live feed from your baby's the baby cam, each of which takes up varying amounts of bandwidth. Making sure that information is delivered quickly and correctly is a pretty big task, and every day it gets bigger. As you add more and more devices, thinking, you know, the Internet of Things, for example, you ask your router to do more. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to KY6V. KY6V, if you'll come aboard, please.
All right, Scott, sir. Muchas gracias, senor. KY6V here. I'm going to pick up at this point on how to secure your home wireless network. Some very interesting and very important information contained in what we're about to say here. If you set up your home wireless network, you'll probably notice something. And that something is your neighbors have all got them too. Not only that, you could quite easily connect to someone else's network if it wasn't secured properly. And by the same token, they could connect to your network too. So how do you secure a network? And we suggest, make sure you secure your network with what's called a pre-shared key, or PSK, Papa Sierra Kilo. Use the strongest form of security your hardware supports. Use WPA2, Whiskey Papa Alpha 2, rather than WPA, Whiskey Papa Alpha, and use WPA in preference to WEP, Whiskey Echo Papa. So, a lot of acronyms here, but you want to pick the strongest one that you have available on your system. Now, choose a non-trivial password, and certainly not something that your neighbors could easily guess, like your surname. At the very least, if you're going to use an easy-to-remember password, put a special character in the string. A dollar sign, a percent sign, that type of thing is going to help you. At the beginning and at the end of the password. And you'll make it vastly more secure. Let me buy a nickel here. Okay, taking this further, set your network to use an access control list, ACL. This is what Scott touched on. ACL, accurate control list. This is a list of specific trusted computers that would be allowed to connect to your network. For each computer on a list, you'll need to specify what's called its MAC address, or LAN MAC address, if you will. And you'll find the MAC address written on the bottom of a laptop computer, around the back, or desktops on the bottom, and so on and so forth. And if necessary, you can go inside the computer and look at the bottom of the PCM CIA network card, and it should be contained there as well. So if you have only one computer and it never moves from your desktop, this is important too. I'm going to start that again. If you have only one computer and it never moves from your desktop, which is reasonably close to your router, don't use the wireless at all. Connect it with an Ethernet cable instead, and you'll use your network in wired mode. It'll be faster as well as more secure. Let me buy another nickel. Okay, you could make your network a hidden one, and that, in other words, so that the network name, the SSID, which is the network name, is not broadcast. Only people who know the network can connect by typing in the correct SSID and the password. So that's a good move also. Hidden networks can sometimes be a little erratic if you use Windows XP and Microsoft default networking software, but they work fine with most other systems. Opinions weigh on whether hidden networks do anything for security, and I've seen the pros and I've seen the cons on this. Some people claim they are more secure. Others say that they have security risks. So, going into the area of how do I make my computer more secure, do you want to pick it up at that point, Scott, and continue, M4UPC, KY6V.
All right, Gordon, KY6V, this is M4UPC. Yeah, I'll pick it up here. The question was, how do I make my router more secure? Well, we've got a few items that will help you do that. Number one, change your router username and password. And as Gordon mentioned before, use a unique password. That helps a whole lot. Change the network name, your SSID. Change that. Sometimes that can throw hackers off. And of course, you're going to have a network password make sure you change that and make sure you make it a good one as well. Your router has, or most wireless routers have what's called WPS, Whiskey Papa Sierra. Deactivate that. Don't use it. As Gordon was mentioning earlier about hidden networks, don't broadcast your SSID or your network name. Sixth one is make sure that your router firewall is enabled, because obviously if you have a firewall and it's not enabled, sitting there doing nothing and not doing you good at all. Update your router's firmware. That's always a good one because hackers, they can find ways to get into routers and cause us all grief. So if you keep that router's firmware up to date, then as things get found out about it, XYZ router, well, that company can fix that, and when you update it, then you'll be protected from there. And of course, the last one, for the wireless encryption, always do your best to use WPA2. That's Whiskey Papa Alpha 2. That's the best one. All right, at this point, let me throw it over to KB9EWG from N4UPC.
N4UPC, thank you very much. Good evening to you there, and good evening to all in South Cars. KB9EWG, Echo 2289. La Crosse, Wisconsin, where it's currently 42 degrees and pouring rain outside here, so good day to stay inside and play on the net, I guess. Anyways, good evening. We are going to talk to some of the nasties out there. Malware, viruses, tracking, and pop-ups. So let's start with malware. Malware is the collective name for a number of malicious software variants, including viruses, ransomware, spyware, shorthand for malicious software. Malware typically consists of a code developed by cyber attackers designed to cause extensive damage to data and systems or to gain unauthorized access to a network. Malware is typically delivered in the form of a link or a file over email and requires the user to click on the link to open the file to execute the malware. Malware has actually been a threat to individuals and organizations since the early 1970s when the creeper virus first appeared. Since then, the world has been under attack from hundreds and of thousands of different malware variants, all of which the intent of causing the most disruption and damage is possible. Let me erase it here. So what can malware do? Well, malware delivers its payload in a number of different ways, from demanding a ransom to stealing sensitive personal data. Cyber criminals are becoming more and more sophisticated in their methods. The following is a list of some of the more common malware types and definitions. So what are types of malware? Well, there's viruses. Possibly the most common type of malware, virus attack. Viruses attack their malicious code to clean code, attach their malicious code to a clean code and wait for an unsuspecting user or an automated process to execute them, like a biological virus. They can spread quickly and widely, causing damage to the core functionality of the systems, corrupting files and locking users out of their computers. They are usually contained within an executable file. Let me reset here. Then there's worms. Worms get their name from the way they infect systems. Starting from one infected machine, they weave their way through the network, connecting to consecutive machines in order to continue. The spread of infection of this type of malware can infect entire networks or even of devices very quickly. Then we're talking spyware. Spyware, as its name suggests, is designed to spy on what a user is doing, hiding in the background on a computer. This type of malware will collect information without the user's knowing, such as credit card details, passwords, and other sensitive information. Then there's Trojans. Just like Greek soldiers hid in a giant horde to deliver their attack, this type of malware hides within a disguise itself as legitimate software acting discreetly. It will breach security by creating backdoors that give other malware variants easy access. Let me reset here. And then there's ransomware, also known as shareware. Ransomware comes with a heavy price, able to lock down networks and lock out users until the ransom is paid. Ransomware has targeted some of the biggest organizations in the world today with excessive results. How to protect yourself against malware. Now that you understand a little more about malware and the different flavors it comes in, let's talk about protection. There are actually two areas to consider where protection is concerned. Protective tools using and user vigilance. The first is often the easiest to implement simply because you can often set it and forget it. Best-in-class protective software that manages and updates itself. Users, on the other hand, can be prone to temptation or easily led by other emotions such as fear. Install this antivirus software immediately. Education is key to ensure users are aware of the risks of malware and they can do to prevent attacks. Let me reset here. With good user protection, with good user policies in place, and right anti-malware solutions, constantly monitoring the network, email, web, and requests, and other activities that could put your organization at risk, malware stands less of a chance of delivering its payload. At this point, we're going to open up for check-ins, then continue with information more here. This is KB9EWG. Anybody wants me to check in this time here?
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo.
W1WBL.
Okay, I'll take those two here. Ken, BE7, PTK. Good evening, Ken. How are things with you?
Real nice. About plus 5 today here in Prince George, British Columbia. It's plus 5 Celsius where it goes to. Probably close to 41, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, and we're all sitting back here. Actually, I'm sorry, I was actually reading an email I just got from Salvation Army, so we'll let you carry the net here, or the information here on the computers. It sounds pretty interesting. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you for your check-in there, Ken, and good evening to you there. Thanks again. All right, WDL, Wayne, good evening to you there, and how are you this evening?
Okay, W1WBL, very good. Fine, I'm enjoying the topic of the evening. We're up in York Beach, Maine. Hunkered down, self-contained house. Hope everybody else is safe and playing a lot of ham radio. So continue on with your topic tonight. It's very interesting and we'll be monitoring. W1WBL, back to net control.
Yeah, well, I too am fairly well hungered down here and enjoying the TIN here. This is KB9EWC with the Thursday Information Net on South Cars. Any other check-ins here before I continue on? Okay, hearing nobody else to check in here, we're going to continue on here. We're going to go on to web tracking. Web tracking is by which operators of websites collect, store, and share information about particular users' activity on the World Wide Web. An analysis of an individual's user analysis of an individual user's behavior may be used to provide content that relates to their implied preferences and may be of interest to various parties. Top 10 ways to avoid being tracked online. Number one, read the terms of service and agreements for sites you give your information to, especially sites that give you financial information to. You may be thinking, I've been on page 5 of Freedom for 8 months. How am I going to find the time to read online agreements? Well, and that's something we all tend to do. We all click on I agree without reading them. And it's, as it points out here, it's a good thing to actually read those terms so you don't get stuck into something you don't want to be stuck into there. Let me reset here. Okay, number two, use a search engine that doesn't track you, like DuckDuckGo or StartPage for searches you want to keep private. Google's incognito settings, Microsoft's do not track settings, and other browser privacy settings are not always effective because they typically leave the decision of whether to track you up to the website you visit. There are no regulations requiring websites to honor do not track me requests. Number three, use a browser add-on like Ghostery, Privacy Fix, Do Not Track Plus to see who is tracking you on any given website. You can use these tools to avoid being tracked altogether or to limit who can access your data. Number four, use a tool to encrypt your connection like CyberGhost VPN or TOR, which routes your search through servers all over the globe, the way criminals in the movies route their calls to avoid having them tracked. Try to use one of these tools if you are accessing the Internet through a public Wi-Fi connection at a coffee shop, for instance. Let me reset here. Number five, read the agreements for all mobile apps before you download them. Some of them are scary. They all will track your location using your GPS, and some, like Facebook, will download all the contacts in your phone. Can't remember who you handed your data to? My permissions can help. Number six, adjust your Facebook privacy settings so that only your friends can see your information. You know that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game that should give you an idea how many friends or your friends have and how many thousands of people can see your information, not to mention the impressive scope of Bacon's work. Let me reset here. Number seven, have different email addresses for different things, i.e. an email for work, a personal email, and an email to give you to online stores. This makes it harder for your companies to flesh out a profile of you. You can also use an email for cloaking devices like Glyph. Use different passwords for different sites. A lot of sites store your password and all your email login name. You may be thinking that there is no way you will be able to remember any password more complicated than Word. But take to heart that LastPass can help you with that. Number 9, regularly clear out your keys and caches from your computer. Many companies will track you for months if you don't put cookies out. Cookies aren't the only way companies can track you, but it will help. Number 10, use a service that removes data brokers like DeleteMe, Safe Shepherd, and Catalog Choice. They usually charge a monthly fee and they won't remove online profile entirely, but it will help. KY6P, how about this and that there from KB9UWG?
Okay, well, thank you for that, David. KY6V here. No, at this point, we had rescheduled to turn it over to our esteemed colleague over in Wales, GW8SZL. I see that he's standing tall on the marquee here. So you want to pick it up and give us 10 tips or so to protect yourself from being hacked? How about that, Mr. Petrified One, KY6V, over.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you, Gordon. Anyway, here are 10 easy steps to protect yourself online. They can help protect your family and friends, too, and help prevent your email from being hacked. Use a password manager and two-factor authentication wherever possible. Okay, 1. Use a repeatable password manager to change all of your online passwords to strong, unique ones for each login. We can't stress this enough. Hackers today use a tactic called credential stuffing, whereby they literally cram previously stolen username passwords into as many online services as possible. Why? Well, because a lot of usernames and passwords are identical across accounts. Now, creating a unique password for each of your online services can take some time, but it's worth it to avoid the risk. As you set up the passwords for your accounts, also set up two-factor authentication, which is also known as 2FOX.Alpha, as an added layer of security for the accounts that offer it. This is especially important for preventing unauthorized password resets. And do the same when setting up IoT devices in your home. And look for IoT devices with 2FA support when you buy them. Number 2. If signing up for a new email service for 2FA support. Now, not all email providers break 2FA. So when signing up with an email provider, check to see what layers of security are available, such as two-factor authentication, either through SMS, which is less secure, or an app-based such as Google Authenticator or Authy. That's Alpha Uniform Tango Hotel Yankee. Let me reset. Now, the main benefit of two-factor authentication is that it provides a second layer of security, such as a text message sent to a smartphone or a one-time password. Now, only the person with your device can ostensibly complete a new login. Not to mention, it can inform you someone is trying to log into your email account. And number 3, don't click suspicious links in emails or texts. Phishers often send links to our email or texts that really look legitimate, but once clicked on, allow them to steal your information. Email attachments that contain malware are also popular vessels for cyber mayhem. The easiest way to avoid these scams is by not clicking the links or attachments. Instead, open another tab and go to the website of the company email or link to see if the information presented matches the official source. Now, as a general rule, never open links or download attachments from unknown senders. Emails from known senders that contain links or attachments without any context are also bad news. This will also help you catch one or more notorious types of phishing emails. The fake password reset. For example, your account has been compromised. Click here to reset your login and password. You get them all the time. Remember the 2016 Democratic National Convention email? Now that's fake password reset. Can we reset? And number four, use a VPN on your computer and your phone. Now be anonymous by using a VPN to encrypt your internet connections. There's no reason not to when it comes to protecting your personal information. Now while you're at it, the VPN will make your browsing experience even better, with fewer ads, less tracking, and, of course, more peace of mind knowing you're secure. And number five, don't use public Wi-Fi or public computers if you can help it. When you're traveling or not at home, try to use the internet only through your own computer or mobile device, with your VPN turned on, of course. Now, public computers at hotels, for example, are accessible by other people who can put keyloggers or other malware on them, which can come back to haunt you. Wait to do your online banking or access other highly personal accounts on your protected home network whenever possible. Let me reset. Now we're on to number six. Get a very strong antivirus. A good antivirus raises the bar on securing your information. With real-time protection from phishing attacks and threats like malware, ransomware, and more. Antivirus should be with your PC, Mac, Android phone, and other devices. Number seven, secure your router and Wi-Fi. Whether a home user or a small business owner, identifying who and what is on your network is as important as ever, as unauthorized users could be trying to hack into your system. Ensure you change the admin password for your router and set your Wi-Fi password to something really strong that a hacker could crack. Number eight, keep your computer and smartphone operating system update. Whenever a security update is released for your operating system, update it immediately. Consider this a basic standard of information security. And we're on to number nine. Keep all your computer and smartphone apps regularly updated. Updates often include security events. So if an update is available, get it right away. And number 10, consider putting a credit freeze on your account. As a last resort, if your email has been hacked, put a credit freeze on your account. It's easy to do and gives you more control over who has access to your accounts. Making purchases for that. If someone needs to access your credit report, you can easily turn the account back on. Then reinstate the freeze afterwards. Let me reset. Okay, now we come under DNS under attack. Now, you're probably familiar with the concept of phishing. Nefarious webmaster set up a fraudulent website that looks exactly like PayPal or your bank or even a gaming or a dating site. They disperse links to the fake site using spam, malicious adverts and other techniques. Now, any hapless netizen who logs in without noticing the fakery has given valuable login credentials to the bad guys. And the fraudsters typically use those credentials to log you into the real site, so you don't realize anything has actually happened. One thing that gives these frauds away is the address bar. Now, keeping a sharp eye on the address bar is one way to avoid phishing scams. Some are egregious, like a page that purports to be, say, LinkedIn, but has a totally unrelated name, such as bestestressusa.com. Anyway, one that's totally, utterly different from what you're looking for. I couldn't say that. Others work out with slightly off names, like microsoft.com. I'll say that. It's Micro, Mexico, India, Charlie, Romeo, Oscar, Sierra, Fox, or Oscar, Tango.com, instead of course, microsoft.com. Or extensively lengthy URLs that conceal the actual domain. But no matter how they try, they can fool an eagle-eyed web surfer. Let me reset. Okay, now we go on to web browsers and secure settings. ITS recommended secure browser settings. It is becoming increasingly popular for attackers to compromise computers through vulnerable web browsers. Now, an insecure web browser can lead to spyware being installed on your computer without your knowledge. Attackers taking control of your computer, stealing all your information, or even using your computer to attack other computers. Now, the setup configuration for many web browsers is not secure by default. IT security teams recommend steps to help make your web browser more secure. These settings are especially important if you use your browser to access business systems, or if you use your browser to access, send, or receive sensitive information. Now, this is a quick checklist for you. Now, keep your browsers up to date. Enable automatic updates for your browser. Block pop-ups, plugins, and phishing sites. Set your browser not to store passwords. If you do store passwords in your browser, use a master password. Always disable third-party cookies. Some browser-specific settings here now. Firefox, install the uBlock Origin add-on. And Safari, disable Java. And Internet Explorer, set up security zones. Let me reset. Now, event note, while making your browser more secure helps reduce the risk that somebody will be able to use it to compromise your computer, it is still important to have safe computing habits, so attackers get fewer chances to try. Don't click on unknown or unsolicited links, or open unexpected attachments. Don't download files, programs, or tools unless you are positive they are safe. Okay, at this point, I'm going to as for anybody out there who would like to check in. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. My name's Dave, and I'm located in the city of Newport, 12 miles northeast of the capital city of Cardiff in South Wales in the United Kingdom. Please go ahead now.
King Able 3, Boston, Mary Sugar.
Okay, it's got the one call there. I didn't catch the first bit. I do recognize the suffix, though. If you could just give me the prefix again, and just go ahead. Bravo, Mike, Sierra. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima.
Yeah. Good evening from King America number 3, Boston, Mike Sugar. King Able 3, buy more scrapple, or sausage, shall we?
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima. Yeah, he caught the last 3, but I got Kilo Alpha 3, Bravo, Mike, Sierra. Do you have any comments at all there? From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima.
Hope you guys there in England are coming along all right. Usually I have a chat with a friend in Manchester. He says things are looking pretty crazy, wild over there with all the hysteria. Thanks for having me tonight. You do speak English very well for a foreigner. And I'll leave you with this word of advice. Stay hydrated, drink schnapps. K3BMS.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, okay, that all noted. Well, my mother came from Southern Ireland and my father was from Wales, so I got a bit of a strange accent. But anyway, okay, thank you very much. Okay, at this point, I'll turn it over to Scott, November 4 Uniform Papa Sierra, for any last program comments. N4UPS, the mic is yours, Scott.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. This is N4UPC. And we're down to the last stretch, if you will. And the person who wrote the script tonight, I won't divulge their name, but I think they like Clint Eastwood movies, because the person labeled this section the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want you to know that the information that I'm about to share with you has been sourced from various internet sites, etc. These comments that we're going to tell you about don't reflect the opinions or suggestions of the SCARS VOIP organization. The information is provided to you simply for your evaluation and for further consideration. All right. And we're going to go through this kind of quickly, but we'll obviously at the end stop and see if you folks have any questions. We talked about tracking earlier. What got me looking into tracking months ago was the fact that I clicked on one thing in my Gmail, and I ended up, everywhere I go, this little ad popped up. Same company, same make of computer, model, all that. Just kept showing up everywhere. Even when I went somewhere completely different, it would show up. And that kind of opened my eyes, because it hadn't quite been that so blatant until that time with me. So we want to make you aware of that tracking, and, of course, we mentioned the things that you can download and run to help protect you from everybody tracking everywhere you go. One thing, Facebook. A lot of people like Facebook and Twitter and those kind of social media apps. But one thing you do need to keep in mind, Facebook especially likes to have these little games, you know, these little cutesy things, and they're kind of funny. But the problem is as you fill those out, and even, like I said, with Twitter, as you fill those out, those companies are actually building information in order to turn around at when they get to where they need and manipulate you. Also, there are things that you have to watch out for, because sometimes they'll just ask you some silly question like, what was your first car? Or, what was your mother's maiden name? Well, you folks have been around, and you know that those are two questions that are generally considered security questions if you forgot your password. So watch, you know, some games I'm sure are harmless out there, but watch when you answer those to make sure you're not giving, you're not handing over to the hackers a way to get into your Facebook. Okay, now it goes on about tracking. There's something that I don't know if many heard about. You'd think it would be screened from the housetops, but not so much. Did you know that in the 2016 presidential election here in the United States, there was a company called Cambridge Analytics, and they claimed to have 5,000, at a minimum, 5,000 data points on every voter. Think of that for just a minute. And then when you, while your head's spinning for that one, a psychologist, he has his doctorate, found evidence that Google had been changing algorithms when you go to search something. They will not display what you're looking for. They'll display what they want you to see. An example of this was the whole Tulsi Gabbard YouTube videos from late last year, where you go in and you could search for her by name if you're in the United States, and they wouldn't show up. Let me grab a nickel. Her name would, or her videos, this was a YouTube issue, would not show up at all. But you could go Google one of the other candidates, and their items would show up. So be aware when you're especially with Google, be aware if something looks off or not quite what you think it ought to be, because it may be Google, and they admitted to this, it may be Google fiddling with your search results. And one thing, back to tracking, go on your computer, buckle yourself in with that 5-point harness, you know, so you're good and buckled in, and go to myactivity.google.com. Again, that's myactivity.google.com. You'll be surprised at what you will find out. Right? All right, coming back to Facebook, what I'm about to share with you is what Facebook has put out publicly. Facebook states that with 150 of your likes, they are better able to predict what you will like better than your own mother. Okay? Counts dad and siblings as well. So just 150 things that you like on Facebook,
they claim that they can better predict what you will like than your mom, your dad, or your brothers and sisters. All right, now with 300 of your likes, they can predict what you will like better than your own spouse. How's that for creepy? And this is all by liking various things on Facebook. And they don't, Facebook does not publish how many likes, but they say that after a certain amount of likes, they can predict what you will like better than you. Now, for me, that's the height of creepy, but that is where we're at these days. Of course, browsers were covered earlier. DuckDuckGo.com, that's one I use. They don't record and track and all that stuff. And to be honest with you, I haven't used Google in 2 or 3 months, and I can't say that I miss it anywhere. I don't notice any real change when I for the results that I whatever I type in. On email, I also use this one as well. ProtonMail.com. And I'll say that again. ProtonMail.com. Let me take a time out here. For those of you who don't know, if you have a Gmail account, just be advised that, and it's not just Google and Gmail. It can be Yahoo, MSN, Microsoft, whomever, even your own ISP. They are scanning and recording and keeping your emails. Even if you delete them, they still have them. And the reason I went to ProtonMail was exactly that. You know, those emails are private between me and my father or me and my wife or, you know, whomever. They really shouldn't be scanning and doing things. But they do. So how do we do that? We go to ProtonMail. They have free and pay accounts. It's, you know, it's whatever works best with you if you decide to go that way. But, you know, it is encrypted even from themselves. So if you have an account at ProtonMail, Proton can't look and see what's going on with it. They can't see inside there. To the point that, according to Forbes magazine, ProtonMail is the only mail that the NSA can't hack. So, you know, that's Forbes' opinion, so we'll leave it with that. Let me reset here. All right, mapping software. What's recommended for that won't collect your mapping history is called OpenStreetMap.org. Again, that's OpenStreetMap.org. They are community-driven mapping software, and they don't collect the history, so they can come back and tell you, you know, that there's a Taco Bell nearby, even though you're not really looking for a Taco Bell, things like that. That's the tracking that they keep on you, and that OpenStreetMap.org can help that. Also, for those who like to store files on the cloud, let me share with you SpiderOak.com. They are a company that, again, just like ProtonMail, they don't look at your files except for what they get as an encrypted to put on their server. So they can't see them. Only you can, because only you hold the encryption keys. They don't. So let's just go way out in the field here. And one moment. The SpiderOak.com, what it does is it encrypts your files, and then on your computer, it encrypts the files and then sends it to be stored on their server. Wanted to throw that out there. Everybody likes to use messengers, whether it's text messaging or Facebook Messenger or whomever. Just wanted to throw out there, it's called Signal, SIGNAL.org. And they, again, they don't keep your messages and basically spy on you. We'll just say it like it is. Unlike, you know, Facebook Messenger or that WhatsApp, I should say, which is also owned by Facebook.
But the signal.org folks, when you send a message, you can put a time on that. So after that much time, the email, the messenger is erased from, in this case, me who sent it out, it erases that, and on the receiver end, it erases it. So, you know, you could have one that's good for 10 minutes and then it's gone off both. Real quick, for browser fingerprinting, and what that is it browser fingerprint is things like if you're on a mobile or a desktop, if you're on a phone or a tablet, what browser plugins do you have, what's your screen resolution, things like that. And they can, I mean, it's a pretty good, with everything they can gather, it's a pretty good fingerprint of your system. But there's a company out there, a website out there that will let you look and see how your fingerprint is. And that's panopticlick.com. PanOpticlick.com. And they can show you what your fingerprint looks like now and give you help and tools to mask that fingerprint. So that's one less way that the big bad boys have of tracking you. Let me take a nickel here. Okay, we mentioned earlier about DNS and how important DNS is. The one that I use, and I kind of had to search through a lot of them, is called quad9.net. That's Q-U-A-D, the number 9, .net. They don't keep a bunch of data on folks. They keep enough to know if there's a problem or if you're having a problem, but it's nothing like the other DNS servers where they keep tons and tons and tons of logs. And I believe that we're at our end. In summary, this evening, we have tried to outline the subjects that you should have in place or you're thinking of to protect your computer security. Before we close, though, I'd like to stand by for anybody that wants to check in or has questions or comments. If you do, please call N4 UPC, over.
N4 UPC, KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
K2HA.
Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
All right. We'll stop it right there for right now and jump back up to the top. KW4 LCB. How are you, George? Go right ahead. Mike is all yours, sir.
I'm doing good, my friend there. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about Google. I got a message from Google and told me the other day, I took a fart and it lasted 30 seconds there. I've been in so much trouble with Google, especially on my phone there. Lost the password, and after tuning in tonight, I'm kind of glad I did there, so we'll be changing things around there. But, on my phone there, if I tell Google, no, you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that, I'm sorry about the audio. It seems it's a little hot there, but this don't work and that won't work. They want to temperature setting, want to open my mic up, and they want to get into my whole life, and I don't particularly care about that. So, I appreciate what you said tonight, and we just got our system up and running today. So hopefully, we'll be able to take care of Google and just get it out of my life. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, appreciate the talk tonight. Back to you.
Thank you, George. Again, this is November 4, Uniform Papa Charlie.
Yeah, it's Google and the rest of them, the big tech boys, they want to be all down in your business, and sometimes it's good to just shove them out the door and say, hasta, see, how is it, the captain says it, hasta la bye, and let them go. Thanks, George. Back with you, and we'll move over to the ham radio world's only happy amateur, K2HA. Go ahead, Mr. Fred.
Well, I'm not so sure I'm the only one. But I want to thank the presenters tonight, and David and Dave, and yourself, Scott, Gordon, and for everybody that worked on this presentation. Thank you very much, and appreciate the information. Looking forward to listening to it again. And have a safe and blessed week, and hope to hear you all on this weekend. This is Fred, K2HA.
All right, Fred. Thank you very much, sir, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and do look forward to seeing you, or hearing from you, rather, I guess you'd say, on the Nets Saturday and then again on Sunday. We'll break with you, and we'll go over to the Petrified One, GW8SZL. How are you, sir? Go ahead.
From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, I'd just like to say hello to everybody on the net, and I got a comment on the map software, openstreetmap.org. Well, I've been using it for longer than I can remember, and it is very, very good. And if you create an account with them, you can update the maps yourself. Say, for example, somebody built a new road or a new block of flats or houses or a shop changed ownership, and you can just go in there, edit it yourself, and then submit it, and then it gets propagated to all the OpenStreetMap servers around the planet. So, you know, you can keep it up to date with local knowledge or any changes like that, which I find very, very indeed. Where Google, it takes ages for them to get updated with new developments and things like that. That's all from me, Scott, and thank you very much indeed. Very, very interesting information. And from David as well. And thank you to the captain there, Gordon, for allowing me to be part of the net tonight. Back to you, Scott. November 4 Uniform Papa Charlie. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much, Dave. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for the part you played, of course. We'll break with you. Is there anybody that wishes to check in before we continue toward the closing? If so, please call in for UPC. All right. I'm not hearing anybody. So at this point, we'll flip it back to the captain, and he or the admiral can lead us the rest of the way out. KE4QAF calling KY6V.
Did I hear you just say QAF? Hey, thanks, Scott. Now, N4 UPC, KY6V here. Thanks to all of the narrators and presenters tonight. Great job. Guys and gals, we'll try to have the podcast posted on the website tomorrow. I won't guarantee that it'll be in the morning, but it'll certainly be before the day passes. Tomorrow being Friday, we've got sort of a heavy schedule in front of us, but we'll get it focused in there. There's a lot to consume in what was presented here tonight, so in some cases it might be necessary, if you really want to get the full impact, to listen to the recording maybe more than once. With that said, I want to welcome George back. He's been absent without me leave. That's LCB. Glad you got all the audio straightened out. You sound good, George. Excellent, in fact. The audio is just a tad hot, but I know that you'll tame that. And I want everybody to remember that our presenter, David, out there in Wales in the UK, is doing this because he can't sleep at night, I guess. It's according to my thinking, about 20 minutes after 1 in the morning, early morning, there in the UK for the petrified one as we speak. Let me buy a nickel. So anything else for the good of the order? If not, we're going to have the fat lady sing and we're going to close the gates. KY6V, please call.
UPC.
As in QAF. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I messed up. I'll take my beating, sir. No, I wanted to put out there, my email is correct on QRZ, so if anyone wants information on the things, especially towards the end that I mentioned, such as the DuckDuckGo or the Signal Messenger or any of those things, feel free to drop me a line. I'd be more than happy to share that information with you. Not a problem. KY6V, this is November 4, Uniform Papa Charlie. Back to you, sir.
Okay. Good information. Thanks, Scott. Let me ask you this while I've got you. If I take your existing email, and I think I might have touched on this the other day, but I just need clarification. Your older email, and just drop the QAF call sign before the app, and put in your new call, everything should be flying, and that you are now receiving information on that account. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, to make it even easier than that, whether you send it as K4QAF or whether you send it as, you know, my new N4UPC, I get it either way. So either way, you know, whatever's easiest for everybody else, it's not a problem with me. Over.
Yeah, I want to change that in my email accounts so that I'm up to speed with you. Do you intend to keep that for some length of time? I don't know. I'd have to check the mailing list for South Cars whether... I don't think that's been changed to your new call. I think it was changed to your new... mail address, however. So, any comments?
I know that you changed the email because we talked about that. But the other listing, I assume you're talking about in the membership area. I haven't looked, to be honest with you. So that may be. But like I said, if you want to go ahead and change it to my new call sign at PM. I tell you what, let me look that real quick first. I think it's the same, come to think of it, what you already got. But yeah, you can change that prefix before the at sign to my new call sign, and it'll be fine. N4UPC, back to you, sir.
Okay, sorry for the slight delay. I was making a note here so that I could do that mañana. Okay, thanks, Scott. Thanks, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all those ships out at sea, this has been SCARS, VOIP, net schedules and general information may be found on our website, scarsvoip.com. That's scarsvoip.com. And we'd love to have you there. We'll try to get the recording posted and running for everybody's convenience sometime mañana. Good night to all, and thanks for coming by. KY6V, and the net is now officially closed.